We need people who are well-educated enough to know what the Constitution means, what it says, how its principles work.
Dr. Robert George of Princeton University talking about his presentation on the Constitution and civic virtue at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We need people who are willing to fight for those principles, to call out politicians, whether they're liberal or conservative, whether they are Democratic or Republican, when they transgress against the Constitution. We need a people who are fit for liberty and fit for the rule of law under a Constitution like ours, a Republican polity like ours, established under the Constitution. So I'm really going to be talking about civic virtue and its relationship to constitutional structures and principles.
You can meet and hear Dr. Robert George at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Science is amoral. Science is a method. It is a method of determining facts. It is a method of gaining knowledge. It doesn't have a right or wrong. Science can't tell us what's right and what's wrong.
That's what we're made for. Christians live on the rough edge and confess Christ.
I think that, you know, when the Lutherans embrace homosexual practices, they find, in quotes, Lutheran reasons for doing so. They will invent their own kind of theological rationale for it.
One of the most comforting things that people find when they turn to the Psalter is that all of the turmoil in their own hearts and minds, all of the trouble in their own daily lives that they feel and experience, all of this is right there on the pages of the Bible.
Midwest turkey hunters love listening to Issues Etc. in the spring.
I have, for a while now, preferred to think about the sexual revolution as an assault on reality. That's what it always has been. It just wasn't so obvious until about the last decade. But now it's easier to see it as an assault on reality, as a rebellion against reality, as an attempt to destroy reality as though such a thing could happen in a world created by an almighty God. But that assault doesn't just take place at the political level or the societal level or at your workplace. It takes place on the individual level as well. Maybe transgenderism shows us a picture of that, a tragic picture of that, at the individual level. An assault on the reality that is the self. Because in the end, transgenderism is self-destructive. It has a self-destructive vector, and it aims at destroying the self, all in the name of creating a new self, but that's not possible. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 20th of April. We're going to be talking about how to talk to transgender people, people caught in that cycle of self-destruction. Walt Heyer, publisher of the website sexchangeregret.com, will be our guest. We'll spend some time with Pastor Will Whedon in our series on the words of Scripture. Today, the word is resurrection. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, the calling of Old Testament prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Joining us to discuss how to talk to transgender people, Walt Heyer. He's a regular guest, an author and public speaker, publisher of the website sexchangeregret.com, and he's written a recent column for The Federalist titled, How to Talk to Someone Struggling with Gender Confusion. Walt, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
How do many transgender people think about those who question their decisions to transition?
Yeah, many of the people think that they are brighter and smarter and more enlightened and more knowledgeable than those people asking the question because they feel like they've learned everything they need to know and you don't understand what questions actually you should be asking them, that they're just the way they are. And, of course, that is incorrect, and many of them are struggling with deeper issues that people never talk to them about, and unfortunately, they are misguided and end up having hormones and surgery.
Why do you say that the attempt to transition is an attempt to destroy oneself?
Well, you know, it's obvious to me that, having gone through it, that you cannot become someone else. That's the first absolute factual biological truth. No man in the history of time has ever become a woman, and no woman has ever become a man. It's not biologically possible. So then the only thing that is possible to do is actually to destroy who you are. That is, that you're trying to erase every aspect of who you are, and that typically is done with people who have had some event in their life that is so compelling, so difficult to grasp, so painful, that they don't want to be who they are. So they spend their time and efforts trying to become someone they can never become.
What effect do cross-sex hormones have on the thinking of transgender people?
Hormones are kind of, they're a powerful steroid, number one. And because of that, they change the way you think, feel, and behave. And so what that means is that they become comfortable with the hormones. There's two things that happen. The male who takes female hormones actually becomes more docile and calmer. The female who takes male hormones becomes more agitated and more angry. And so you have these two different things that happen because they're putting things into their body that their body wasn't intended to have. Oftentimes at doses higher than your body can really take in. So people are overdosing many times on these hormone therapies, and that causes them even greater, for the female, greater aggravation. And for the guy, sometimes he becomes more docile and he'll even start to cry and become more emotional.
What do you hear from those who regret their transition?
Yeah, everyone that I've talked to can tell me and pinpoint a specific issue that happened to them, whether it was a family member who committed suicide, a father who died suddenly, a divorce in one large family. I've actually had this happen more than once, where one of the kids decides to become a transgender, identifies a transgender because he felt like no one was paying attention to him. In other words, he told me that he felt like he was lost in the family and they didn't know that he was there. And he knew if he identified as a transgender person, they would actually have to recognize that he was there. And it worked for him and for about a year and a half until he contacted me and said that he wants to detransition.
When talking to someone who's suffering from gender dysphoria, why is it important to keep in mind that sex is immutable?
Well, when the sperm hits the egg, two things happen. Your sex and gender become locked in. It's not changeable. It's biology. It's science. It's all those things that you cannot alter. Now, you can make someone look like cosmetic surgery, make it look like they changed genders, but you can't affect a biological change in them. So this is kind of the big issue with doing this and why so many people, we know that upwards of 40% of them will attempt suicide. We know that 19% of them will be successful in suicide. We know that 90% of the people who go through this are lost. You can't even find them to review their history because they've either detransitioned, they've died, or they want nothing more to do with this whole thing being called a transgender. Transgenders, as a medical issue, don't even exist because no one in the history has actually changed their gender from one gender to the other medically.
During your transgender years, who showed you true compassion?
Well, actually, the people who got up in my face and I felt like told me, like one guy who was a friend of mine, Bill, when I told him he needed to use the proper pronouns and address me the proper way, he said, "I think I'll just call you Wacko." Now that sounds pretty severe, but I can remember to this day, I thought, gee whiz, he's probably the most accurate in identifying who I was. Wacko, nutso for doing this. So I wasn't offended by it, and after I detransitioned, he continued to call me Wacko. So sometimes people who are honest in their own way, not trying to be hurtful, but just being absolutely honest about how they feel about what they are going through, because oftentimes a transgender individual doesn't really care about how the persons around them are affected by this. So the people around them shouldn't be walking on eggs. They should be telling them how they feel and what they're going through, because now everybody around that person's going through some issues about them identifying someone that as they can't really become. So it's nonsense, actually.
What kind of damage is done when those around someone who is suffering from gender dysphoria just affirm what they're feeling and the decisions they're making? What does that do?
Well, you're telling them a lie. I mean, you're telling them that, yeah, you're fine, you're going to be okay, and this is the right thing to do. Well, what happens is down the road, the person realizes that they were lied to, that the people who are affirming them really weren't helping them at all. All they were just doing was trying to be a codependent to their own issues. So it does harm to them, because if we can grab them sooner and get them to realize that something happened that caused them to feel this way, that's the key thing. Something happened. And if we can gain their trust and spend enough time with them and allow them to disclose what happened or why they're feeling this way or who taught them that you could become a different gender. Did they learn it from the internet? Did they learn it from a friend? All these things are very important in addressing the individual's psychosis and thinking that they can become someone that they really can't ever become. And that's what is the heartbreaking part. They tell them you can change genders and you can become Laura, in my case, which is nonsense. All I did was run around with a name Laura for 8 years. I worked for the government. I worked in good jobs. But the fact of the matter is, I was never a woman. I was just, and no one, whether it's Jenner or whether it's this individual at HHS, they're not women. We're lying to them by suggesting that they're women.
So what specific kind of questions do we need to ask those who are considering transition?
Well, they're kind of simple, and if they allow you the opportunity to do that, again, it's where did you get the idea? Did you get this from the internet? Were you in a chat room? Do you have a friend that is identifying this way? Were you sexually abused? I find that over 50% of the individuals were sexually abused, whether it's a female or male. And people who are sexually abused, unfortunately, if a guy is sexually abused at a young age, he may want to get rid of his genitalia, not because he wants to become a female, but as a way to protect himself from ever being sexually abused. He feels like if his genitalia is gone, then no one is going to touch him or sexually abuse him again. And the same thing holds true for the female who is sexually abused at a young age. If she identifies as a guy, then whoever's molesting her, that girl before, won't do it because they're not attracted to a girl identifying as a boy.
You say that we should have these conversations without the expectation of change. Why is that?
Well, because we're not capable of affecting a change. The only person who can change who they are is themselves kind of coming to grips with what they did was a mistake. And once they get to that point and they realize it was a mistake, then they themselves begin this process of questioning themselves. And if they're fortunate like I was, I happen to be in a church environment where I was learning and confronting my faith. And once I came to the point where I realized that the Lord Jesus Christ had made me a man and man made me a woman, but no one can actually affect a change in what God had done. And once I realized that, then for me, it was fairly simple and easy to understand. And so I detransitioned in 1990, which is 31 years ago.
Walt Heyer is an author and public speaker. He's publisher of the website sexchangeregret.com. He's written a recent column for The Federalist titled How to Talk to Someone Struggling with Gender Confusion. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Walt, thanks.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
When we come back on this Tuesday, April the 20th, our series, The Words of Scripture, continues with the word resurrection. Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest. You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Brian Wolfmiller, Larry Rast, and Will Wheaton at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Registration is $150. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Making the case, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.